yes, I can actually come out with Neville, and it's like, yes, and I can meet people that he's telling me about and the churches that he's talking about and has such a heart for. So it's a great privilege for me to be here this evening. And Tony asked me to share some thoughts on going deeper into worship. So that's what I'm thinking about tonight with you. So the question is, how do we go deeper into worship? What does that mean? What does that look like? What can we do? What can we do to go deeper into worship? Could we get the flags out, do you think? Would that do it? Could we dance, get up off our backsides and start moving our bodies and engage our bodies? Would that change things, do we think? Could we take different postures, kneel? Could we lie down? What about having some special lights or a smoke machine going when the band's on? Would that do it? Would that do it for us? I can hear some amens there. Do we search through YouTube? Whatever our, you know, particular thing on YouTube, whether it's Bethel, whether it's another YouTube channel, and do we find the latest song or the one that's really popular or the one that people say, oh, that's such a deep, deep song. We really need to use that one on Sunday. Is that what we do? Well, all of those things can be really great because all of those things can be outward expressions of what's going on in here. But the problem is they are not automatically an outward expression. We can dance, we can wave flags, but actually it doesn't automatically have anything to do with what's going on in our hearts. So what do we do about here, about what's going on in our hearts? I believe that it's in here that takes us deeper into worship. Plus here, because we do, God has given us minds, and we do have the ability to choose what we do with our minds and also what we do with our hearts. And we can choose to be hungry for more of God. We can actually choose to position our hearts in a particular way. And we can choose how our heart is going to respond to God. So I've got six points. So I hope I'm not going to talk for too long. 6 points. Point number one is worship is for life, not just for Sundays in church. It's a very sort of obvious sort of thing, but it is something that requires us to make choices in life. Because Sunday worship in church really is the overflow of a week spent in God's presence, worshipping him. So we need to have those times in the week when we're with God. We need to make it personal. It's us and God. And it needs to be out loud. So I don't mean actually playing CDs, although you can play a CD sometimes, because obviously CDs are good because they teach us songs, they get those songs into our head, and then I think it's wonderful to have a bank of songs in our head that then God, in those moments where you just need to be singing something out, if you've got that bank in your head, God can bring back to your mind songs, snippets of songs, and prophetically pop those things in your head. So listening to worship CDs, I think that's great. But on the other hand, if your time with God is, right, I'll put a worship CD on. But nothing. It's just kind of going across my mind. I'm not actively engaging with what's on the CD. I'm not actually thinking about it. I'm not actually, my heart isn't connecting with it. It's just in the background. I'm saying that that isn't a quiet time. I'm saying that that isn't a worship time with God. So what we need to do is be speaking things out so that our heart and our mind are connecting with God. Now we might think, oh, but I don't know. I don't know, what am I going to do? What am I going to say to God? How am I going to do it? What I suggest is that we have a look in Psalms, and we actually look at a psalm every day. If we really don't know, it's like Dale read a bit of a psalm, did you, just now? Psalms are great. So some psalms you look at, you might think, oh, I'm not sure I want to say that out loud, because David is, at that point, he's getting very cross with some of his enemies, and you might think, well, that's not very worshipful. Although he was expressing his heart, and that's okay for us to express our hearts to God. But here in Psalm 9, we've got, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, Most High. We might read that out, and always speak these things out loud, because when we speak it out loud, number one, we take more notice of it. Our minds actually take notice of it. Our bodies, whole bodies take notice of it. But also the spiritual world hears then. God knows what's in our minds, but demons don't. So we need to be speaking out, which we'll come on to warfare later on. But we need to be speaking out loud. And so we speak it out loud once, but it might sort of not quite connect enough. So we might need to speak it out again. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. You might think, well, yeah, God, what are the wonders? So I'm going to tell of some of your wonders. So, God, thank you for what you've created. Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for the home you've given me. Thank you that I'm not out on the street. Thank you that I've got running water. Do you know, thank you that, God, that for your salvation plan. There's an endless supply of the wonders of God. I will be glad and rejoice in you. Do you know, we might not feel glad about some things in our life, but we can always be glad in God. We can always rejoice in God. We can be miserable everywhere else. But there's always something to rejoice in. There's loads of stuff to rejoice. So we can always call up our hearts. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will give thanks and praise my God. We have to call ourselves up. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. So, yes, if you've short of words to speak, look at the Psalms. If you are singing songs, and obviously I love music and I love songs, sing songs that your heart can engage with. So singing songs that have content. Pray prayers that have content, that speak of who God is and what he's done. And if we run out of words, we pray and we sing in tongues. If you don't have the gift of tongues, ask God for it. If it doesn't come, go and ask for prayer for it. Don't wait to feel like it. Worshipping God, we choose to do it and we make it a daily priority. In order to do that, we need to decide ahead of time, when is that going to happen? When am I going to fit that into my day? So that was the first point. Worship is for life. It's a lifestyle. We talk about worship being a lifestyle. It's a moment-by-moment thing. It's an all-day thing. It's not even that one little point in the day. But it's good to give God somewhere that time in the day. But we can actually just have that as a background thing of singing songs in our head, praying prayers in our head throughout the day. Right, we're on point number two. Which is, we're in a battle, which I was referring to before, saying how important it is that we speak out loud so that the spirit world hears us. Because Satan will always oppose our worship of God. Because it magnifies God, and two, because it brings us closer to God, which he is not happy about. It will always be opposed. So we need to expect a battle over our worship times. So it's better not to wait for a gap in the day. As I was saying before, we need to plan it, because if we just sort of go through our day and think, oh, well, when I've got a bit of time, then I'll have a bit of worship time, Satan will make sure that you never have a gap. So we have to fight for it. We have to fight against our own feelings sometimes. Sometimes we'll say, oh, I'm too tired. I feel too ill today. I'm just not feeling like it. Satan will make sure that these things conspire against us. Do you know, we can actually do something if we don't feel like it. We can actually feel one thing, but choose to do another thing. And that's a real warfare thing to do. We also need to deal with anything that opens a door to Satan or gives him a foothold in our lives. So things that might do that, well, that would do that, are unconfessed sin in our life. We need to make sure that we've got short accounts with God. We need to make sure that we're walking in obedience to God. If we have areas of disobedience in our life, we have a huge door open in our lives that Satan can walk right through, can feed us lies, can mess around with events in our lives. We are putting ourselves into a place where there's an open door or just footholds that will hold us back from things that God's got for us. So if that's the case, we need to repent. We need to receive God's forgiveness and know that we're forgiven and that we're free. We also need to deal with any unforgiveness or bitterness that we are holding on to. Because again, God tells us that we need to forgive. He will forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. So we need to forgive from the heart. Sometimes it's difficult, but we need to say to God, I forgive such and such a person. Lord, I choose to forgive such and such a person for what they've done. In Freedom on Christ, we have a prayer of forgiveness, which goes along to say, I choose to forgive the person for doing this particular thing, which made me feel. And I found it such a helpful thing to actually work out, how did I feel when that person did that? Because it connects my heart with what's happened. And then I choose to forgive them and not to hold on to my resentment. And I ask God that you would bless that person. And you can go on to pray for them very specifically for how God to bless them. This is how we break free. This is how we get rid of those footholds that Satan's gotten in our lives. And this is how we get rid of interference from Satan in our lives. We need to know the truth of who we are in Christ. Again, this is warfare. We need to know that we are a saint, that we're accepted, loved by God, secure in God, significant in Christ, a new creation in Christ. If we don't know these things, Satan can come against us with lies. He can tell us that we're too sinful. He can tell us that we're dirty, not worthy. We're not acceptable to God. But we need to declare out loud, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. We can declare out loud from Hebrews 10 that we can confidently enter God's presence because of the blood of Jesus shed for us. So what we need to do, if we get those negative thoughts, if we get those lies, choose to believe the truth. Choose to believe the truth of God's word, which can just help us to enter into God's presence. Next point, I want to say that God calls us to bring a sacrifice of praise to him. Because worship is always our choice. Whatever the season we're in of life, whether it's winter or summer, whether we're in a storm, and whether we're in any sort of a trial. I usually find that these things come along quite regularly in life. So Habakkuk is a lovely little passage, if I can find him. What he says is, I'm sure you all know it, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God, my Saviour. Again, whatever the circumstances, we can rejoice in the Lord. It's always easier to worship God when everything's going well. But you know the saying, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. God doesn't change. He's still worthy to be praised, whatever our circumstances are. And when we worship God in the middle of a storm, it glorifies God. It shows God that our hearts are for him. And the wonderful thing is that it helps us as well because it strengthens our faith. When we choose to praise God, to worship God, when things are rough and difficult, we are exercising our faith. And that exercising of faith makes our faith stronger, helps us to go deeper with God, deepens our relationship. It's a true story that scientists were experimenting with growing trees in beneath a plastic dome. So they were thinking about growing trees, I think, on other planets. So growing little saplings, tree saplings, and the atmosphere was completely controlled. There was no outside air allowed in. So inside, it was completely still. Beautiful growing conditions, the right sort of amount of moisture in the air, the right amount of oxygen, the right amount of nutrients in the soil and moisture in the soil. But those trees, they were growing up, but then eventually all of them got to a certain height and they just fell over. They could not stand up straight. And the scientists discovered that trees need a flow of air in order to develop that resistance and that strength to stand up straight in the wind. So it's as we encounter storms, it's as we exercise our faith in the middle of those storms, in the same way as those trees, that's how we develop our faith, that's how we develop our relationship with God. So next point is deal with the distractions. There'll always be distractions because we're all different. That's the thing. You know, we all like different things in worship. We all like different styles. We all like different levels of volume. I'm one of those people that I don't like it too loud. I mean, I'm not like, oh, it's got to be really, really quiet. But, I mean, let me tell you, I've been in places where it's loud, loud, and I've feared for my hearing. And so I could choose to walk out the door, but I choose not to. If I have to, I will worship with my fingers in my ears, both ears. I can't put the other finger in my ear because I'm holding the microphone. And I will worship. Doesn't matter to me what people think. I choose to worship. Other things that might distract us, I can remember, lovely, lovely guy. This is a long time ago when we were living in a different part of the country. And he played the guitar as if he was trying to kill it, is the only way I can sort of describe it. I mean, he thrashed at it so violently and so hard. I mean, he used to break strings regularly, didn't he? Neville's nodding. Yes, and it kind of upset me, you know, sort of musically. I found it, and also just for his instrument, it kind of upset me. But what was I going to do? He led worship regularly. So what am I going to do? I choose not to be distracted by it. I choose to just concentrate on God. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I got over myself, you know. And perhaps we all just have to do that. We all just have to get over ourselves a little bit. What happens if I don't like the song that's being currently sung? There was one comment I heard recently. A couple we were doing marriage prep with, and they were talking about which worship songs they liked for their wedding and all that. And And the guy was saying, oh, well, you know, there's all these songs that Jesus is my boyfriend. And I that was how he kind of described it. And I kind of knew what he was getting at, that they're maybe very slow, gentle, maybe don't have a huge amount of lyrical content. So what do we do? If we're sort of in a meeting where it's like every song, it's like, oh, don't really connect with this song. Oh, I'm not sure what to do with this. We need to get over ourselves. We need to push past our own feelings and reactions and instead choose to worship God. And how? How do you do that then? Well, if the words up on the screen aren't words that you would use, sing some different words. Sing in tongues. But whatever you do, don't be passive. Don't be distracted. Engage with God. Truly, we can choose to engage with God wholeheartedly. Whatever's going on with the band, whatever's going on around us. Sometimes in a worship meeting, I won't even be singing. I'll be praying out because I just feel as if that's what my heart wants to express at that moment. So be free. Be free. You don't always have to sing along. You can listen to God. Maybe God's saying something to you. Or you can be singing other words in English. Just what's on your heart at that moment. Or you can be declaring truth out. Do something, be engaged, choose to not let your mind just wander. Which is related to the next point, which is living the lyric. I can remember in the first church that Neville and I were at together when we were married, and it was called Sale Baptist Church then. It's now Manchester, I don't know what it is, Life's, and I don't know, but it was the Salt and Light Church anyway, and that was the first church that Neville went to, and Mike Beaumont was the pastor then, and Martin Dunkley was a young man, and and we were young as well, and it's a long, long time ago. Anyway, I'm digressing, and it was, charismatic churches were new to me. I'd had a background of growing up in quite conservative evangelical churches, wonderful churches, but it was different. So Sale Baptist Church, it was different. And one worship time we were singing, He is Lord, He is Lord. He's risen from the dead and He is Lord. And then it went to, He's my Lord, He's my Lord. He's risen from the dead, and He's my Lord. And I remember just recognizing that God was wanting me to make a decision. Am I just singing that? Or am I meaning it? And what does it mean for Jesus to be my Lord? So when I'm saying that we need to live the lyric, we need to not just be singing words. We need to be believing what we're singing. If we're singing truth about God, we need to be engaging with that truth and declaring it out as truth. If there's some lyrics there that we don't agree with the theology on, like that And Can It Be Him, some people have trouble with the line, He emptied himself of all but love. I think it's something like that. Well, then just don't sing that line. If there's something that you're not quite sure about, you know, don't go against your conscience. If there's something you're not quite sure about, make up another line. Like I was saying before, we don't have to be tied to what's on the screen or on a bit of paper. But like the He is Lord song, some songs can be challenging to sing. So there's one song which I really like, but I find it challenging. And that song is, This is My Desire to Honour You. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. It's quite something to say. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Big statements. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Quite challenging, but wonderful, wonderful words. If we're going to sing it, we need to mean it. Or if we struggle with it, we can ask God to help us. Anything but just sing it and it just kind of goes in our heads and out of our heads. Because then we've lost such an opportunity to go deeper with God. So let's see these challenges that are in songs as opportunities, not condemning, not God saying, oh, you're not there yet, that's no good, is it? But an opportunity for us to reach out to God and just to have more of Jesus in our lives. I've got here, it's a prayer that God loves to answer. You know, when we say, God, will you please help me in this? I want to surrender to you. Would you please help me? If we pray that prayer, God will answer it. He might have put some things, put some circumstances in your life that shake things up a bit, but it will get you there. So, last one is actually two sort of related points. Throwing out the idols and becoming a living sacrifice. You might think, oh gosh, that sounds a bit heavy. If we want to go deeper with God, there's some sacrifices that we have to make. There's some things that we maybe need to get rid of in our lives. An idol is anything that's more important to us than God. Also, an idol is anything that we look to for comfort and security instead of looking to God to meet all our needs. Because if we do that, we're saying that those things that we look to for comfort, be that particular TV program or that we must watch because otherwise our lives will just not work if we don't know what's happening. Although we've all got recorders now, haven't we? Or things like that. Or we have to do certain things at certain times or we have to eat certain things in order to cheer ourselves up. Actually, it would be much better to go to God to cheer ourselves up than to go to the bar of chocolate or to the glass of wine. It's things to think about. Because if we go to other things for comfort, we're actually missing an opportunity to go deeper with God. And going deeper into worship, it comes out of our relationship with God. The deeper our relationship with God is, that's how we are able to worship God. Because we can only worship God as much as we know of him and as much as our hearts are open to receive more of him. So are we going to give God the first place in our lives, in all our decisions, in our choices? Do we ask God about what's right in situations? Do we give God the opportunity to talk to us and help us with things? Are we willing to die to self, to die to ourselves? In Romans 12, there's a little passage that Paul says, where are we? Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. The first time I kind of, you know, really sort of looked at that, I thought, oh gosh, he's talking about worship. This is your spiritual act of worship. But yeah, it's not talking about singing songs. It's saying, offer my body as a living sacrifice So sacrifices are normally dead, aren't they? Sacrifices are things that are normally on an altar and they die. But this passage is talking about being a living sacrifice. So we don't actually have to die physically. We are alive, we're living, but there is sacrifice involved. There are things that we need to lay on the altar and let them die. There's a lovely old hymn, because I was brought up on the hymns, and it says, we will never prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. Where he says we will go, what he says we will do, never fear, only trust and obey. This is that thing of being willing to lay things down on the altar if God asks us to. God asked Abraham to put Isaac on the altar. His son that he'd waited for so long. And Abraham was willing. You know, if that was what God wanted to Abraham, God was more important than all Abraham's hopes, dreams, vision for his future that God had promised a nation. So we need to be prepared to lay down hopes, dreams, plans. Can we say to God, in your way and in your time, that's how it's going to be in my life? Frances Ridley Havergal wrote another hymn. She wrote, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Consecrated isn't a word that we hear that much about these days, but it means set apart, devoted to, surrendered, and the other things become secondary because we're concentrated to God, consecrated to God. So that's the call on our lives as we desire to go deeper into worship, that we surrender ourselves. And as we're surrendering to God, we're keeping our hunger alive for more of God. Do you know, there's always more of God to know about, and there's always deeper to go. We won't actually get to the end of it until we're in heaven and see Jesus face to face. And then I think there'll be eternity still to get to know. It'll be a wonderful, wonderful adventure. And so can we perhaps make it our choice today to give ourselves to God, to be hungry for more, and to surrender ourselves to him? So I'm going to hand over to Neville now and see what he wants to do.
Thank you. Well, all I want to do really is see what God wants to do. And I think what really struck me from what Ruth said was that idea that worship and the quality of worship comes from us. Because, I mean, you often hear people say, oh, you know, I moved to this church because the worship was better, or I want to go somewhere where the worship's better. Or I go, you know, I can't imagine how fantastic the worship must be in these mega churches. Well, actually, if Ruth's right, that has nothing to do with it. You know, if you want the worship to be better, it becomes a question of how deep have you gone with God, doesn't it? You know, if worship is something that comes from ourselves, comes from our heart, then tonight, you know, for the rest of the evening, we can have an amazing time of worship. It doesn't matter that there's not that many of us here. I mean, we do have a fairly world-famous worship leader, but, you know, he hasn't got his full band with him. So, you know, in that sense, we haven't got the facilities or the sort of stature that some sort of churches have. But if worship comes from the heart, then, you know, we can go deeper into worship. Tonight can be a fabulous time of worship. And I just wanted to give us an opportunity before we have that fabulous time of worship to respond to some of the things that Ruth said. you know, there's I mean, I think the basic thing is this idea that worship is a lifestyle, that worship is to do with, you know, how committed, in a sense, we are to God, how sold out to God, how totally dependent on God we are. And I just think it'd be good if we had a few minutes just being quiet, actually, before we start doing any singing. And we just, you know, have a little conversation with God now. So this bit we're not going to do out loud, because we're not making statements. We are actually just talking to God here. We're not making declarations. But I know that, you know, I am personally so easily distractible. I know that I'm so easily drawn to sort of look for satisfaction or comfort or security in things apart from God. I'm so easily, you know, distracted to sort of toys and, you know, the things, glittery things around in the world. And I can't honestly say that every day my entire focus is on God. But if I want to go deeper into worship, that's how it's got to be, isn't it? You know, it isn't a question of getting better at singing or, as Ruth says, you know, finding the right songs or even spending more hours just singing those perfect songs. It's actually a heart thing, isn't it? It's a heart thing that says God is worth so much that he's become the entire focus of my life. You know, that's what it is to give God worth, isn't it? It's to say that, God, you are, you know, so worthy that everything I am, everything I want, everything I aspire to, like the Reuben Morgan song, you know, is in you. You know, if everything is in you, my entire focus, my entire desire is in God, then I'm going deeper into worship. So maybe if we just take a minute now and we just sort of make that prayer ourselves, if we can say it, as Ruth says, if we can say it and mean it. And even if we don't think we're at that point yet, we can say to God, well, yeah, that's what I'd like to be like. And sometimes I have to say to God, well, yeah, I know I'm not like that, but that's what I want to be. And God responds to that. God, you know, give God an inch and he takes a mile when it comes to that sort of prayer. So let's at least give God an inch tonight and say, Lord, okay, we know that this is a bit above where we are at the moment in many, many times, but Lord, this is what we want. We want to be those people who are sold out, who find our all, our fulfillment, our total satisfaction, our total joy in you. So let's just take a minute to do that, and then Chrissy's going to lead us.